Can you remember the last wedding that you attended? Can you imagine the best man stepping forward to give the rings to the pastor, and the sole of his rented shoes slipping on the step, sending him crashing to the floor? The bride is wearing brand new shoes. She has not bothered to take them out to the sidewalk and scuff the shiny bottoms of them, so reacting to the groomsman fall, she too slips and goes down. If that should ever happen, by the way, the marriage is still valid. But the real question is, what is on your feet today? Perhaps it doesn't matter too much unless you run out onto the gym floor or out into the spring of 2011. But the apostle is very much concerned about what the believer has on his feet when he writes in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel of peace." We don't usually think of shoes as armor. Helmets, shields, breastplates seem to come to mind first. But Paul's chief concern is that we may stand in the face of all the devil's attacks. The shining armor will matter little if we are lying flat on our faces. Even Greek mythology reflected such common sense when Achilles, whom nothing could harm and who could conquer 12 cities, was nevertheless killed by an arrow in the foot. Your footwear protects you from slippery spots, from stones and other sharp objects, and from soil pollution. A doctor once took his family camping on the Baja Peninsula, but insisted that the 4 children wear tennis shoes, even on the beach, because the hookworm larvae, which was in the region, which is estimated to affect up to 750 million people in the world, enters the human body mainly through walking barefoot on contaminated soil. Of course, on holy ground, you do not need to worry about slipping or stones or soiling your feet. In that case, it is your shoes that bring pollution to the place. But then you may remove your shoes and stand safely. More than just standing, though, the shoes on our feet prepare us to walk. It gives us a readiness. Throughout his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has been referring to how the Christian walks, that is, lives. In chapter 2, he said, "You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, chapter 4. And again, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. In chapter 5, and walk in love as Christ loved us. Walk as children of light. Look carefully then how you walk. Who would think, though, that the gospel of peace should be the shoes included in God's armor to keep us upright, to keep us walking in the right direction? How could the good news of Jesus gaining forgiveness and eternal life keep us upright and walking worthily? It would seem that we would be kept on the right path more easily with barbed wire and warning shots. But if you are under attack, and it seems as though God loves the worldly who are able to indulge their every whim, how important then is the big picture of eternity to keep your balance and your perspective true? Or if you have wronged someone, is it not the Savior who reconciled you to God that leads you to go and first be reconciled to the person you wronged and then bring your gift to God? Or if you have been wronged, is it not the Savior who came to you, who teaches you to go to that person one-on-one and gain him or her back? If your efforts have been crowned with success, it is your risen Savior who gives you access to Him whom you have to thank for it all. If you have decisions to make, is it not He who gave you the light of life that can also illumine your path? If the Lord has opened a door for you, He who opened heaven for you will also equip you with the gifts you need to walk through that door. And if it's time for you to go home, home to the land of promise, then He who chose you teaches you how to eat the Passover with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ready to have the gospel of peace as shoes is to have holy ground strapped to your feet every step of the way. We sing of that walk in Hymn 413. And in order to highlight the problem-solution structure of this hymn, we're going to sing it antiphonally. My faltering voice will worry the first stanza, and then you will answer with stanza 4, the answer to stanza 1. And I will present the problems in stanza 2, and then you will answer those problems with stanza 5. And after stanza 3, you will answer with stanza 6.
my soul dismay. I pass through trials all the way. Death doth pursue me all the way, nowhere I rest. See.